the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Hey there, this is Stephen Myers, Sweet Potato Extension Specialist with the MSU Extension Service. Today is October 4th, 2018. Most of our commercial sweet potato producers are approximately halfway through their fall harvest season. But today I'm going to talk about something that's not really harvest related. For many of our sweet potato farmers this morning, in your email inbox, you received an email from Mississippi State University's Mississippi Ag Forestry Experiment Station director, and it outlined a transition plan for the foundation seed program in the state of Mississippi. For those of you who did not receive an email with the transition plan, you should be receiving a hard copy in the mail in the next week sometime. I'll go ahead and just give you kind of an overview of what this means for the industry and give you some sense of what's in this document, just in case you haven't had a chance to look at it yet. So just a little background on foundation seed in Mississippi. It began in the 1960s at the Pontotoc Branch Experiment Station, which is actually where my home base is. And the primary emphasis at the time was to eliminate storage roots with altered flesh color. Now, it became apparent in, say, the 1990s or so that yields were declining in sweet potato due to older generational material, and there was a link to viruses found in sweet potato. Because sweet potato is a vegetatively produced crop, those viruses can build up over time and create a drag in yield. So in 1999, the program advanced to a tissue culture-derived virus-tested propagation system. Well, for those that are not familiar with what that means, essentially we have plant material that's been tested for viruses, found to be apparently free of known and problematic viruses of sweet potato. And we maintain those in what we call in vitro, so in glass containers with a growing media, so that they remain virus-free. A lot of the viruses that we have in sweet potatoes are vectored by aphids and whiteflies. And so by maintaining those in glass with a media, we can prevent the spread of viruses. So the research station historically spent a lot of its time producing foundation sweet potato seed, so actual sweet potato roots that were from virus-tested or hill-selected sweet potatoes. Well, that, of course, as you can imagine, took a lot of time away from research. And so in 2008, the program actually spun off the seed increase in commercial sales operations to a private business partner. And that was incredibly beneficial in that it helped increase the amount of certified seed or foundational seed, sweet potato seed, from 14 acres to 70 acres. That's a pretty dramatic increase. And so one of the other things that I should mention is that the experiment station in Pontotoc is one of six recognized clean plant centers for sweet potato in the United States. That's a designation with the USDA APHIS Clean Plant Network. We're one of six organizations or stations in the country that have the responsibility to diagnose sweet potatoes with viruses, to clean those sweet potatoes up or to, you know, create plants that are virus tested and determined to be free of known and problematic sweet potato viruses, and to produce foundational material that should, you know, be disseminated to the sweet potato industry. When you look at the document, you'll notice that there are several reasons for why this transition plan is being rolled out now. One of the primary reasons is the need to reduce our dependence on the interstate transport of certified seed. So when we move sweet potatoes between or among states, we also move the pests that are associated with sweet potatoes. We move the soil that clings to the sweet potatoes and to the bins that they're put into. And in that soil can be weed seeds, diseases, and of most pressing at the current time are nematodes. And so we know that, for example, this guava root knot nematode that has received a lot of conversation lately can be moved both on the sweet potato roots and on the soil that travels with the roots. So we're trying to mitigate some of the risk that way by reducing reliance on interstate transport of certified seed. A couple of the other explanations or reasons given by the document include mitigating risk. For example, the experiment station here is the only place in the state where greenhouse-grown foundational sweet potato material is produced. And so that creates an opportunity for risk. So if the sweet potato greenhouse is here at the station, receive hail damage or we get a snow and it collapses the greenhouses in the wintertime, that's it for certified sweet potatoes for the year. They just won't exist. Some other intentions behind this are to increase the availability of foundation material, so the amount of foundational sweet potato material that's grown in Mississippi, and hopefully the proportion of the crop that's grown from relatively early generational material will increase. The final reason outlined by the document is to increase variety selection. Right now, if you want to grow Bonita or Evangeline or Bayou Bell or something like that, you've got to go out of state to find it. And hopefully this program can help with that, or this transition plan. So what does this transition plan look like? It's a 3-year plan. Year one starts fall of 2018 through spring of 2019. And year one is going to look pretty similar to what it's looked like in the last several years. We'll have one certified seed grower who's already predetermined. We'll receive the first cutting out of the two greenhouses at the experiment station. Those two greenhouses typically yield about 90 to 92,000 slips. So the first cutting will be sold as it has for the last several years to our certified seed grower. The difference in year one is that the second cutting will be made available to additional sweet potato producers. So if you have an interest in the second cutting, the first cutting is usually cut the first week of May, and about 4 weeks later, the greenhouses can be cut a second time. The yield of plants in those greenhouses is typically half of the first cutting, so we'd be looking at approximately 40 to 45,000 slips would be available sometime in early to mid-June for purchase by any sweet potato producer in the state of Mississippi. If you have an interest in buying second cutting slips out of the greenhouse, which would be again available in June of 2019, we will have an order form. It'll be on the Mafis Foundation Seed website, an order form where you'll be able to choose the varieties and the amount of slips that you would like. We'll have a set price, and you'll be able to place an order. So that's where you need to go to if you're interested in buying second cutting greenhouse slips from Mississippi State University in 2019. So that order form will be made available. We'll take orders through the month of October. So that's what the first year looks like. It looks similar to all the previous last several years, I guess. In year two, we'll actually take orders for the first and second cuttings from the greenhouse. So in year two, essentially, we'll open up the first cutting to other sweet potato producers. What you need to know, if you're going to put in an order for first cutting plants in fall of 2019 for receiving plants in 2020, you will need to be certified, go through the certification process, and we can talk a little bit more about that in a future blog. You also need to have the intention of supplying certified G1 or G2 seed roots to Mississippi producers. So whoever gets the first cutting in year two will need to make seed roots from that cutting available to the industry. Just as in year one, we'll take orders for second cuttings as well, and those second cuttings are available to any Mississippi sweet potato producer. Year three of the transition plan looks quite a bit different. The ultimate goal with this transition plan is to move toward a model that's similar to what North Carolina State does and what UC Davis in California do, and that's to sell plants that are then propagated in greenhouses that are owned by private industry. So year three is a little bit different. So in year three, which would be taking orders in the fall of 2020, and plants would be received by the producers in 2021, what we intend to do, or what the document outlines, is a process where producers would buy potted daughter plants. So daughter plants or rooted sweet potato plugs. And so that would be the difference, is you'd be buying a daughter plant with the intention of taking that back to your greenhouse facility to propagate within a greenhouse and build up stock that then you would take into the field and produce your foundation seed. So that is the intention. If we do not receive any orders for daughter plants in year three or rooted plugs, we'll go back to the year two plan. But the hope is that we'll have some sweet potato producers with greenhouse facilities who will be able to take potted plants and propagate them much in the same way we do here at the research station. That's a really brief synopsis of what this document is and what the transition plan looks like. I encourage you to look at it. And after you do, if you have any questions, by all means, please don't hesitate to ask. For those of you who may not know, my email is stephen.myers@msstate.edu. You can find me on the Extension Service website under the Sweet Potato section. My office number is 662-489-4621 if you want to get a hold of me or Dr. Mark Schenkel to talk more about the transition plan. That's all I got for today. We'll talk to you next time on the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast. Thank you.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.